Kennedy Library. President's Office Files. Presidential Recordings Collection. Meeting Recording Number 37.4. 4 minutes and 31 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The 9 excisions are indicated. For additional information, please see Recording Log Number 37.4. Excision 1, 27 seconds excised.
5 of the remaining, of 5 of the remaining 8 are tankers. 2 of the dry cargo ships, not known to have reversed course, may be carrying non-military cargo.
Excision 2, 37 seconds excised. Excision 3, 21 seconds excised.
Latin American countries are beginning to offer military units for the quarantine, and there's generally little adverse reaction in that hemisphere. This is contained in a report which will be circulated, and maybe we'll have a copy before this meeting is over.
Excision 4, 15 seconds excised.
At first he was quite skeptical, later became thoroughly convinced and reported to his ambassador and also directly to his government that the evidence presented was convincing and he felt the situation was most provocative. I think this is a very useful thing and by coincidence that he had to be here. The low-level photography of 2-3 days ago, upon analysis, proving to be more valuable than was first thought. The U-2 flights yesterday were unsuccessful because of the weather, and this morning one of the U-2 and stood down. I don't know whether the second flight has gone or not.
It's gone off.
It did go off.
Yes, but still doubtful as to whether it will be able to change that flight.
Turning to another almost forgotten subject that we gave us a great deal of concern. Castro delivered the list of medicine and supplies that we're talking about. Donovan sent them over on the 20th of October, on Sunday. The list is quite extensive. It'd be interesting to note that 27% of it is baby food. There's a large quantity of plasma, about three times the annual consumption, according to Merck. We have made no appreciation of the or estimate of just what's involved in the list, except it's been turned over to the wholesale drug companies for analysis and for report. This is being handled directly by Donovan with no activity on our part whatsoever.
Excision 5, 10 seconds excised. Excision 6, 9 seconds excised. Excision 7, 16 seconds excised.
Early this morning, on the order of 7 o'clock local time, which would have perhaps been 6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, could then follow this later today by boarding the Bucharest, if that seems desirable. But whether it seems desirable or not, I believe we should establish the pattern of boarding as a quarantine technique and do it immediately.
Have we got any other ships we can board now?
There will be. Non-Soviet ships, yeah. There are many. But in order to allow Admiral Dennison to lay on a plan for doing that, we should give him instructions to do so very
right
promptly. I think that would be highly desirable. Right. Would you issue the instructions for non-block ship boarding and have him keep us informed on the procedure? And if they say there aren't any in range, suggest this helicopter problem we talked about. Or the use of the Florida force we discussed. That's one action. The second action is to whether we should board the Bucharest. I think we ought to talk here further, and I'll pass over that for the moment because there's time to...
Let me just say, what would be the next ship, and at what time would we have it?
The next Soviet ship?
Yeah.
The next Soviet ship of real interest to us, I say of interest because this passenger ship's location is not specifically known. By dead reckoning, we calculate it's within the barrier area, plus or minus 100 miles or so, but I don't believe we would wish to touch that. It appears to be a passenger ship. Undoubtedly it has cargo on board, but it gets us mixed up with hundreds of people. I think it would be wise to avoid that. The next ship that would be of particular interest to us would be the Grozniev, which is a tanker, and has behaved rather peculiarly in the last 24 to 36 hours. There's some reason to believe that it may have received an instruction about 36 hours ago to deviate from its established course to Cuba. And it, instead of moving directly east by turning around completely, it appears that it might have moved northwest. I say might have because some of our direction-finding fixes and other information as to how it behaved are not accurate to closer tolerances than about a 90-mile radius, and we're not absolutely sure, therefore, what happened to it. But it looks as though it might have deviated from its established course and then resumed course during the night, and it appears to be moving now toward Cuba. And it's of great interest to us because it's not only a tanker, but it has a deck load. And it declared a deck load of, as I recall it, of ammonia tanks. But these could very possibly be, and as a matter of fact probably are, missile fuel tanks on deck. In any case, it will come to the barrier at 2,000 hours, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, day after tomorrow night.
That would be
8 p.m.
Friday night.
Now, that's the only other Soviet ship that
you couldn't have been out until Saturday morning, so that'd be really on 48 hours.
Or alternatively, we could go further than the barrier on Friday daylight and intercept it. But that's the only Soviet ship moving in at the moment that we think is attractive. There are some other actions I think we can take that relate to this, however, Mr. President, that I'd like to mention now. I believe that we should establish a low-level surveillance pattern that is consistent with an air attack. There is much evidence that the Soviets have instructed the Cubans to act very cautiously. I'd like to run down that because it relates to this low-level surveillance and possible further escalation of our military force. It appears that they've given instructions to Cuban MiGs not to fire on U.S. aircraft. And more than that, it appears that in a separate instruction, they gave orders to Cuban MiGs not to take off from the airfields. I'm not certain of this, but there's some evidence to believe that. It's quite clear they have camouflaged the SAM sites, surface air missile sites, thereby reducing their readiness because they have to pull these covers off in order to fire effectively.
No and question about that.
The photographs demonstrate it exactly.
Excision 8, 43 seconds excised.
We have pictures of the Komar craft moored in port with covers on the missiles.
Excision 9, 1 minute and 33 seconds excised.
Three advantages, really. One, it'll give us some intelligence we can use, benefit from.
Two, it'll establish a pattern of operation that is consistent with an attack and cannot be differentiated from an attack, and therefore reduces the warning of an attack, and may make it possible to attack with lesser forces because we reduce the warning. And this, I think, is an extremely important point we can discuss later. And three, it demonstrates to the public and the world that we are not only interested in stopping the flow of offensive weapons to Cuba, but also definitely have as our objective the removal of the weapons now there. Why are we justified in conducting low-level surveillance under these circumstances? We're justified doing so because there is evidence that the Soviets are camouflaging their sites. There is tremendous evidence of this. You can see the camouflage nets drying on the ground. It's been raining and it's wet and they're drying them out. They're under instructions to camouflage immediately. And they have camouflaged not just the weapons, but various buildings, trucks, all kinds of
things. This whole Russian thing and someday. Why they didn't camouflage it before? Why they do it now? And at what point they thought we were going to find it out? I don't see this all.
Well, it's an amazing thing. But now I think we're beginning to read their minds much more clearly than was true.
Maybe their minds.
72 hours ago. And there's absolutely no question but what they are under orders to camouflage and do it fast. And because the camouflage equipment is wet, it's spread out on the ground, it's drying. As soon as it dries, they put it on everything in sight. They're camouflaging trucks, they're camouflaging erectors, they're camouflaging missiles. It's really a fantastic sequence of action. And I think this gives us justification to go in and check on what's going on and be sure we identify these things so we know whether they've removed them or haven't removed them. Furthermore, I think we're justified in determining whether they're proceeding to install further offensive weapons. And therefore, I would recommend that today, for all these reasons, we carry out a low-altitude surveillance pattern that is directed to use approximately 8 F-8U aircraft that are now on 1/2 hour to an hour alert to go in and cover the IL-28 airfields, the MiG airfields, all 9 missile sites, and selected SAM sites, not the whole island, but selected SAM sites, the Komar bases, and the coastal missile bases, coastal defense missile bases. I think we can do this safely.
Storage areas.
And I beg your pardon, that's exactly the nuclear storage areas, which they're working on with great speed and effort. And I think we can do this safely. I think it will give us valuable information that we would need and benefit from if we subsequently decide to carry out an attack. And I think it will establish a pattern of operations consistent with an attack, and therefore that will camouflage an attack. I would suggest we do it by announcing to the Cubans that we are going to carry out unarmed surveillance today for the reasons I've outlined, consistent with the OAS requirement and consistent with our own objectives, that these planes are unarmed, but if they are attacked, we will attack the attackers.
I think we want to, we negate one of the purposes, which is to make it possible someday to make this an attack. Why don't we even bother to announce it? Why don't we just do it?
Well, we may not. We might say we're going to carry on, not just today, we're going to carry on unarmed surveillance to determine whether they are removing the weapons or whether they're proceeding to continue to install.
Yeah,
we're going to continue surveillance.
You said that in your speech.
If we want to continue this pattern of low-level surveillance or close surveillance and frequent surveillance, I think it would be very useful if we could announce it as unarmed, get it clear that it's unarmed. And same number of ships, but now they're armed instead of unarmed. And if the Security Council has turned down by veto our proposal that we send in UN inspectors, this might set up the circumstances in which we can go in and take those missiles out.
Bob, do you think that maybe they've got instructions the non-firing and non-offensive action might be based on the expectation or the wish that we fire the first shot and then they'll all be loose?
Possibly. I mean, I don't know.
But that would play a role in
the fact
that maybe we would want to do this in the next 48 hours.
It would. And all I'm suggesting at the minute is that we take the steps that will give us the option to do it if we later choose to. And one of those steps is getting this Security Council veto. And the other step is carrying out this low-level surveillance. Then we don't have to do anything more today.
I agree.
Then we come back then to whether the political situation at the UN and every place else is such that we want to let this Bucharest pass today without making the inspection. That's really the question. What is the political effect of our letting that pass? Are we better off to make this issue come to a head today, or is there some advantage in putting it off to tomorrow?
When will it arrive in Cuba?
The Bucharest, as best we can tell, is traveling about 17 knots, is around 500 miles from Cuba, and should arrive therefore sometime tomorrow.
If we're going to inspect it, we have
about 8 hours left because it's now 11:30 at night, and we wouldn't want to do it at night.
Mr. President, the fact that we've already hailed it, asked it questions, it's answered. We've already passed it through.
We haven't passed it. We just hailed it. It replied.
Yeah, and we're
shadowing it. That's, to the best of my knowledge, the only words of the past.
By the time this arrives in port, you will almost then be ready to tackle the other ships, so there wouldn't be much interval between its arrival and back to
that's approximately correct, Tommy.
We want to put this, is there any reason to put it off or not to put it off for 24 hours of searching of a Soviet ship?
It actually be put off possibly 48 hours.
From my point of view, the tanker is not the best example. I mean, we haven't got POL on the list, and if there's no visible suspicious cargo on deck, there's not much room for anything underneath deck. A typical tanker that left home before all this weight is developed and it kept going.
So I think obviously that's definitely what turned it around. The question really is, it arrives in Havana tomorrow, wherever it arrives. States that the United States states what happened. Is that the idea to set the pattern?
Well, I think that we could say that Khrushchev's message to you stated he had instructed his ship captains not to deviate from the norm of sea practice. He used the word norm in his message. We consider this a deviation from the norm of sea practice. It is not customary practice to ask what cargo you're carrying and to get a response. It is done sometimes, but I understand it's not customary. And therefore, we could say,
well, we wouldn't want to probably emphasize that he deviated as much as we. Seems to me the only, if we decide not to, the only reason for doing it is because we wanted to give sufficient grace to the Soviet Union to get these instructions clear off the UN to have a chance to operate. That seems to me to be the best grounds to put it on if we decide this isn't our first case.
Well, couldn't we truthfully say that we
view of UTAN, I mean, I think the only grounds to put it on is that we looked at the vessel, it was obvious what it was carrying. It was not carrying offensive weapons, it responded, and we permitted it. At this point, in view of UTAN's appeal, we let this go, but then, because they're voting at the Security Council, we've got to give some explanation. Because everybody else is going to have to stop the practice of stopping and boarding. I don't think we can ever let it go. All they have to do is hail it.
It's important that during the day we board some other ships, some other flagships.
This we've already ordered away.
Is it better or worse?
Yeah, how are you going to explain
ships,
letting the
Soviet ship go by?
Well, but it is not. It is.
But we better hail and accept some other tankers. We don't want to board any tankers and not board.
Certainly don't want to board any other tankers.
Oh, yes, we'll be boarding tankers. Yeah. I think the only...
Well, not today.
Not today.
Yes, sir.
Well, then we've got to board this one if we board somebody else's.
Well, there will be ships we won't... There will be tankers we didn't board. There's going to have to be a variety of...
It looks awful to me see if we board a British tanker and not this one.
I think they're big enough.
If it's important to board a Russian ship, it seems to me it is. This may be the best chance you'll have, given they'll never let you board a ship for 2 weeks. They have something serious on it.
Well, they're not sending anything serious right now. The serious ones would turn around, but obviously no one's to grab anything. I think the whole problem is to make a judgment of Khrushchev's message to me last night, combined with when she said they're not going to do it, they're going to take action if we do, combined with what is happening with the UN and so on now. Unless there's something, unless more time is going to make more likely that we're going to get something out of either the UN or Khrushchev, then I suppose you have to grasp the nettle. I don't know whether 48 hours, having let this go through, having this tomorrow, them announce in Cuba that we let it go through, an American ship accosted.
But I think it's such an obvious reason for letting it go through that it would not weaken our position to have them announce it went through.
Right? Can I pick up the other one?
Well, we could pick it up, but it can be done in less than 48 hours. It can't be done in less than 24 hours.
You couldn't pick it up this afternoon?
No, sir.
Well, this ship won't be in until tomorrow. We have our best case then tomorrow.
Well, what time do they? We don't know definitely what time tomorrow.
No, but I think we can't pick it up except at a considerable distance from Cuba.
Now, they've already wired back that they were accosted by a destroyer and they were let proceed. What impression do they get over there that we let this one go?
I think their impression would be that it was not carrying prohibited cargo. It was obviously a tanker. We queried it. They told us it was carrying only POL. That was not on our list. We let it go through.
If this is 500 miles out, it'll get there at, what, 8 o'clock tomorrow night?
Rough that, yes.
Now, would we have a chance of picking this other one up tomorrow? Yes.
Well, we would in this sense. It is due at the barrier at 2,000 hours, which is 8 p.m. each daylight time, day after tomorrow. And if we sent a ship out immediately to meet it, I would just roughly calculate we'd intersect it around 800 or 900 miles out from Cuba sometime late tomorrow.
But they may turn it around. I mean, they may do it with that, but they've got the other.
Well, it's already received. I doubt very much they'll change its course between now and tomorrow night. There's no reason why they should do it now instead of earlier.
This is the Grozny.
If this is the Grozny, and there's some reason to believe that they were uncertain how to handle it. This is the only ship that appears to have possibly first deviated from its established course and then resumed that course. All the other ships either continued on course to Cuba or turned around and went back.
Now, what's the advantage of letting this one pass?
The Bucharest. But the only advantage is avoiding a shooting incident over a ship that is